It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. LGBTQ community can mean a lot of different things. It can mean places like bars or coffee shops where everyone feels welcome. It could mean local groups involved in activism on LGBTQ issues. It can mean a network of supportive relationships. That kind of social infrastructure is often associated with the biggest cities. But our next guest wanted to know what life for LGBTQ folks looks like outside of large urban centers. So she spent time researching that question in one small city here in the Midwest. Claire Forstie is a teaching consultant at the University of Minnesota's Center for Educational Innovation. Her new book is called Queering the Midwest, Forging LGBTQ Community. Claire, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to talk with you.
What got you interested in exploring this issue, but not in the biggest cities where we might think there are, you know, big communities and community centers?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, for me, it's actually very much a personal story. I am a queer community member who has lived in, grew up in small cities and towns in the Midwest and in New England. And for me, I know from my own experience and from research that our stories are not told really that as often as they should be. So I felt that I wanted to learn about a particular small city, River City. And I was curious about the lives of members of community members of that small city. So part of my research was spending time in River City, interviewing LGBTQ community members there. And that's why I focused on their stories.
And let's talk about River City. That's a pseudonym. You wanted to cover up the actual name of the city and the people. So you're not, you know, sharing their stories when they didn't want them to be shared. But set it up River City for a little bit. On the face of it, people looking in from the outside might say, well, no, that's not going to be a friendly place.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, River City is a small city that is located pretty far away from the nearest large cities. That's a dimension that really matters for what community looks like. And so that was part of kind of my focus, was thinking through what the experience of LGBTQ people is in a small city that's maybe a regional hub that has towns around it where people travel to that small city for shopping and for other community things. So that's the context a bit of River City. And that's right. It is a pseudonym. I can't share exactly where the city is, but it is here in the Midwest.
So talk a little bit about what you did. You started with some census data and other things, but a lot of this was talking to and meeting people in River City.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what I do as an ethnographer is I talk to people. I conducted interviews, 54 interviews. With LGBTQ community members and allies. And I attended a lot of LGBTQ community events. So some of the things that you described earlier, everything from, you know, small nonprofits to pride events, pride picnics, to drag shows, all kinds of, you know, book readings, things like that, all kinds of events where I could observe what was going on in the local LGBTQ community.
Now, the word ambivalence comes up a lot in the book. Some people really liked the situation there, some didn't. A lot of people were in between. Can you talk, first of all, about some of the positives about living in River City that people talk to you about as LGBTQ residents?
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't want to tell what I knew to be a simple story, right? It's complicated. So there were some community members who really loved living in River City. They loved the size of the community. They loved the connections they could make. Maybe they were from there. They had family members there. They had connections to spiritual and religious communities there. And they felt the amenities really fit their interests. They also really liked that it was affordable, right? It was a place they could afford to live and work and build really close relationships with other community members. For other community members, though, it was a little bit more complicated. If folks were not from River City, if they didn't fit with the local faith tradition, if they were not white, they had a lot more challenges finding a sense of community and really feeling like they fit in. So as you said, with the word ambivalence, it's kind of a both and story. So it's a little bit of some folks felt really welcome, felt a strong sense of community, and other folks really struggled and really had a hard time finding that sense of community. I'll share that the highest proportion of folks that I interviewed who cried in my interviews were the ones who really didn't find that sense of community, and many of them ended up leaving. I think that says something about how we think about the future of these communities for those of us who still do live in small cities.
And I think a really important note that comes out really strongly in your book is people might think of a gay community or an LGBTQ community and paint with a broad brush. even in a fairly small community in this small city, there is a wide diversity of experience, self-definition, and even interest in considering someone a part of a community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of what I was aiming for was getting at that range of people's identities and experiences and what community looked like to them, what kinds of community they valued. For some people, it was going to a drag show. For other folks, it was attending an event at a library. For others who were, you know, involved in activism, it was organizing marches, community events. It was organizing the annual Pride picnic. And for some folks, it was gathering with a group of like-minded friends and going on a hike. So there certainly are a range of activities, a range of organizations that fall under that really broad umbrella that we think of as LGBTQ community. I want to be clear, gay bars are important, right? They're very important in this moment. And there is so much more than we think that exists about LGBTQ communities. There's a broad range of activities, broad range of identities.
Talking to Claire Forstie about her book, Queering the Midwest, Forging LGBTQ Community. She focused on a small city here in the Midwest to look at those issues of community. Claire, one tragic event that seems like it brought people together there. I think while you were doing your work there, the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting back in 2016. Can you talk about how that community that didn't always feel like a community really came together after that?
Yeah, I am so glad you asked that question. One of the most powerful experiences for me as a researcher was to see just how quickly community members and allies, who are a central aspect of communities in small cities, came together to organize a really beautiful memorial event following that shooting, which we remember from a few years ago, and which has echoes today. And so what I remember from this event was we had a small program, and we had images of all the people who had been killed in the shooting. And folks had time to spend some time and space looking at these images and thinking about the lives of folks who were lost. This was something that I saw just about every single one of the people I interviewed show up at this event. And there were community leaders who came too. And what I love about this event is that, to me, it gives me a bit of hope about the future, that folks can and do mobilize when something terrible happens. And it makes me think about what's possible too in the future.
A lot of people you talk to, whether they're part of the LGBTQ community or allies or others, talked about how River City had, in their view, in any way, anyways, changed over the years. In some ways, many people thought in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a number of folks I talked to who said, for some reason, the time limit was 20 years. Over the last 20 years, things had really, really rapidly changed in River City, where there started to be spaces where LGBTQ people could be visible and accepted, and folks really appreciated the progress that had happened up to that point. And it's complicated, right? There certainly were still challenges too, but I really heard a number of times that sense of things really have changed. And I think that matches with the national narrative too, quite a bit.
A common question for people in River City was, should I stay or should I go? Should I seek out a bigger city that has a bigger, more established community? It's interesting because we often think of, you know, a gay community in a large city, for example, but there's nothing inherently about being LGBTQ that says, I want to live in a big city as opposed to maybe the Midwestern small city or, for that matter, rural area I grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That stay or go question is huge. I think those of us who've grown up in and lived in small cities get that question a lot. It's kind of like, why are you here? Why are you still here? And there are lots of really good reasons why people do stay. And sometimes there are reasons why folks leave, although they don't always leave for big cities. Sometimes folks leave small cities for other small cities. And so that local context and whether folks can find a space there really matters for that decision. And especially whether folks are able to find friends, able to find family, community, and a sense of belonging, that's part of their decision for why to stay or go. Sometimes they go to other small cities.
One other thing I wanted to ask about, we're not going to cover everything in your book, people talk in some cases about, yeah, this is an accepting community as long as I don't stick out too much.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, that is a little bit of a straightforward story. I heard that from many folks, that if I don't out myself, if I stay under the radar, thinking of one participant in particular who said, if I share, if I let folks know that I'm a young trans man, I fear for my safety. And so I heard that over and over, as long as I'm not, as another participant said, too rah-rah shishkumba gay, I'll be okay. And so that's something, again, gives us some clues about where there's some space for improvement in the communities that we live in.
Do you have thoughts in just our last minute and a half or so about how smaller communities, if people want to, can help create, I guess, welcoming environments where people don't have to be shy about sticking out in those ways?
I do. What is really important in small cities and towns are relationships, right? So the relationships that we have with each other, leveraging those relationships, whether it is maybe bringing a sibling or even a parent to an LGBTQ event, maybe making sure to stand up for our LGBTQ friends in those relationships. I think really leveraging those relationships to build acceptance and to build that sense of community and to show up at events in different ways, right? So often activists were tired, burned out. So any work that we can do to support the good work that's already being done and leaning on those relationships, I feel like I say it a lot, but they really, really matter, especially in small cities and towns.
Claire, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
That's Claire Forsty, teaching consultant at the University of Minnesota's Center for Educational Innovation. She was with us today talking about her new book. It's called Queering the Midwest, Forging LGBTQ Community.